Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. I'm Ann Thomas, and on this edition of the show, the 68th edition of the Ford Fireworks is coming to Detroit on June 22nd. Tony Michaels, president and CEO of the parade company, will have all the details on this year's event. Mark Reith, the former owner of Atwater Brewery, is buying the business back. He'll tell us all about that. And Patty Lynch is opening a second Dutch Girl Donuts. It'll be in the news center area. He'll stop by to talk about the opening and what's happening with all of his other businesses in the city of Detroit. A great show about what's happening in and around the D right after these messages. Welcome into Opportunity Detroit. We kick off today's show with Tony Michaels, the president and CEO of the Parade Company, and he's here today to talk about the Ford Fireworks coming to Detroit on June 22nd. Tony, the Ford Fireworks basically kick off summer in the city.
Yeah, they really do. June 22nd, people will say to me, Ann, you know, why so early? Well, we kick off summer, and all the cities around our state have fireworks on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of July. So we've really taken this, to a position of let's kick off summer, let's make it great. And so, yeah, it's going to be bigger and better than ever. I've said that before, haven't I?
Well, Tony, you say it every year, but I got to tell you, every year it is bigger and better than the year before. How do you do that?
Well, we have 24 minutes to work with, but that doesn't limit us to how many actual fireworks we can cram in. And I can tell you this year, it is simply full. Stick around for the whole show when you're downtown. Take it in because it is going to be a pretty spastic, beautiful, amazing show. It really is.
And don't you pick out the music personally, Tony?
I do. I start working on it almost right after the show, and I make notes, and then I have papers, and then as we get, you know, into January, I have them on my kitchen island. My wife says, get these out of here. But, you know, what I try to do is hit every genre, you know, from Motown to country and so on, rock and roll, it's older and newer. It's really interesting, and then I work with Patrick Barreau, the choreographer from Zambelli. And the show is pretty much laid out and is synced to the music.
That's incredible.
It's a really fun show, as you know. And this year, it's going to be so much more. It really is.
So the theme this year, Detroit, go for launch. How did you come up with that?
Well, if you think about the beginning of the show, we fly the helicopters down the Detroit River with the Canadian and the American flags, and we play the anthems. And then we have a segment, which is right before the broadcast in WDIV, where they say, barge one,
yes.
Ready. Barge
yes.
Two, go. WDIV, go. Parade company, fire. And it's become like one of those crazy things that people love.
It's dramatic. I love it too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we just said, let's just do that this year. Let's go for launch. So it just seemed like great fun. It really did. And I have to tell you, one year, somehow, we missed the countdown. People were calling me the next day going, what happened? And I'm like, it didn't play. And they're like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no, geez, that will never happen again.
No, I imagine it will not. And you've got this incredible support from many people in the community. But let's talk about the Ford support. Mary Culler, president of Ford Philanthropy, they have been incredible with regard to these Ford fireworks.
They really have. The title sponsor, and we're so fortunate. Mary and her team at Ford Philanthropy are really amazing, and we thank Mary and team and the Ford family and everything Ford does in the community, and are so involved in the parade itself presented by Gardner White with Hobnobble Gobble and the official car, the trucks pulling the floats in the parade and a float. We're very fortunate, and we really are, and what a great team they have over at Ford. They really do. We also have an amazing group of next-tier sponsors, which include Rocket, you know, Dan Gilbert and his team, Huntington Bank, Mott Children's Hospital, DTE, and we're just so fortunate that they're all around to help us out and to team up with Ford on helping us pull off this great event.
You know, and you know this too, because Tony, you work on the Ford fireworks. You also do work around the year on the incredible parade. This community really gives back. The businesses are amazing.
Yeah, they really, really do. And they're always there for you as long as you're there for them. I mean, it does come into play where we have this commitment here at the Parade Company with this amazing team that we have here to over-deliver for every single company, person, foundation that does something with us. And we live by that. And it's just, it's necessary. It really is. Because if somebody's going to partner with you, you've got to over-deliver in a partnership back. That's what we believe.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. Let's talk a little bit about the Ford Fireworks Rooftop Fundraiser. Do you still have tickets or tables available, Tony Michaels?
We have so many tables. We're up to 250 tables up there. Oh. We have about three tables available, which, you know, you simply go to theparade.org and reach Carol Ann Barb, and you can buy one of those tables for $3,500. And you know, Ann, it's one special place. It's the best summer party going.
It's a lot of fun.
There's nothing like it. Food all night, and you can touch the fireworks, music playing, and it's pretty spectacular for the young kids, too, with all the games and activities that we have lined up to keep them busy while they wait.
Well, Tony, it's kind of like a carnival, really.
It is. That whole lower level, it is heavy-duty busy for kids. They can do every possible fun thing they've ever dreamt of, shooting basketballs, face painting, doing weird science, dancing, you name it, Ann, we've got it going.
Let's talk a little bit about logistics. What kind of advice do you have for our listeners on how to view these fireworks, best spots?
Well, you need to come down early. You really do. Hart Plaza is a fabulous place to watch. They will start letting people into Hart Plaza at 2 p.m. So you want to get down there early, get in that line. When Hart Plaza is full, it is full. And the Detroit Police Department makes the call. And I should say how amazing they have been with Chief Bettison and his team. None of this happens without the best police force in America. None of this. But Hart Plaza is fabulous to watch. Then there's so many areas around downtown, but also Belle Isle. They open up Belle Isle for cars to cross the bridge at 2 o'clock. When they take 3,000 cars onto Belle Isle, they will close the car path over the bridge, and then you can walk over to Belle Isle and watch the show. And that literally, the 3,000 cars, Ann, are in there by 5 or 5:30 every year.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's incredible. It really is. But then there's so many other places, and there are people who set up chairs down Michigan Avenue. I mean, you think about this. It's so high up in the sky and all. There's so many places to go. I talked to somebody who was out in Pontiac. They go up on a hill, and they watch the show from this hill in
Seriously?
Pontiac.
And they can see them, Tony?
They can see them. Yeah. Yeah, I was blown away.
Yeah.
No pun intended. No pun intended.
Now, what about on the water? Can boaters also, in the past, I've seen boaters out there.
Yeah, absolutely. They put a barrier up, the Coast Guard. They put a barrier up, and, you know, they can't go past a certain point. But there are so many boats. It's great from a boat. I did it years ago, and it is fabulous. And you can pipe in the music, you know, both in WDIV and, I may add, this year on WJR, playing the music. So can I run an ad for you?
Absolutely. I'd love that.
If you are downtown, you definitely want to take a player and a speaker system. I will say we are going to pipe the music into Hart Plaza. But if you're not in Hart Plaza, take something down to listen to the music, because the show is choreographed to that music, and go to WJR, and they're going to be playing it live right during the show.
And, you know, Tony, you're absolutely right about that. I think the best way to do it is you've got your phone, right? Everybody's got a phone these days.
Mm-hmm.
Just download the app. Download the WJR app, and then as the show is just about to start, have it ready to go. You're right. It'll be really cool. Anybody who's on site, that's the perfect way.
It is. It really is, because it is choreographed, and you miss out a little bit. I mean, look, the fireworks are the star.
Sure.
There's no question.
Right.
But when you hear the music, and specifically the beginning and the end this year, the music and what we have planned, it's going to be pretty touching and it's going to be pretty bombastic. I can tell you that.
And I would assume that, Tony, is because you're celebrating America's 250th.
I didn't say that. But we have, but in all honesty, we have not taken on that task of the 250th. But
sure,
you are going to hear some things in the show and some stuff, which I'm not going to share. It's all a secret. And it's going to be pretty touching and pretty cool.
You
it
have
really
to be
is.
There, right? You got to get
yes,
there.
Yes, you do. Yes. And also, if you can't make it down, our great partners at WDIV do such an amazing job with the broadcast right up from the party. So if you buy one of those three or four tables that are left out of the 250, you're going to see WDIV, their celebrities doing the broadcast right from the party.
Yeah, it's a great behind-the-scenes look. Now, yeah, you mentioned you got to get there early. Talk a little bit about traffic flow and freeway closures, Tony Michaels.
Yeah, the Detroit Police Department, along with Michigan State Police, they set 6 o'clock as the closing time to come down. Unless it's a little lighter, then they'll keep it open longer on the highway. I can tell you, it varies. When we have a rain warning, it's a later arriving crowd.
Okay.
You know, because they want to make sure it's all good, which it always is, right? And we always get through.
Yes, we do.
And if it's a beautiful day, people come down much earlier. So you have to kind of play it by ear. But they do hold on to that right to close those roads at 6 o'clock. So come down early and don't get caught like that. If you're coming to the party, simply 75 south onto 375, you make a right on Jefferson, and you make a left on Bobby into the water and make a right around to the garage. It's so simple. And then leaving downtown, the Detroit Police Department has made it so great for people. They really have. They realize how important this event is for our city and our state, and they're there for us the whole way. They really are.
And, you know, I can attest to that. It is not that hard to leave the fireworks. The traffic flow and the police, they have it down to a science, Tony.
They really do. They are amazing. We do safety summits.
Sure.
Our second one is June 9th. And everyone's in the room. There's 100 different law enforcement people, from Homeland to Border to Coast Guard, Detroit Police Department, of course, Michigan State Police. Everybody is together. Everyone collaborates. It is amazing what is pulled off that night. It really is.
Tony Michaels, President and CEO of the Parade Company, thank you for the time today, and I cannot wait for this celebration.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, Atwater Brewery has a new owner, but it's someone who is quite familiar with the brand. We'll tell you all about it. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. Detroit entrepreneur Mark Reith has reacquired Atwater Brewery, and it's a full circle moment for this local businessman who is with us now to talk about it. Mark, welcome to Opportunity Detroit.
That's so great to be here. Looking forward to our discussion.
Well, tell us about this. What is going on?
That's great. So basically, you know, when I sold the company in 2020, I stayed around for a year and a half, and then I exited out in mid-2021, and then from there kind of said, all right, what's the next chapter look like? And as a serial entrepreneur, dove into a couple of different opportunities because I can only play so much bad golf, right? That's the way I look at it. So, but the Atwater then was sold again from, I sold to Molson Coors, and they sold the business in 2023 to Tilray Inc. And at that point, Tilray took it over along with many other beverage companies over a two-year span of time. And basically what I did is I said, if I ever had an opportunity to buy the business back, I would absolutely look at it, and reached out, and it seemed to be the right time for them as well as myself. You know, I still own the real estate in Rivertown. And so we had a discussion for about 2.5-3 months came to an agreement, and here we are.
So, Mark, you owned the business for 15 years. Why did you decide, you know what, I want to give this another go? What was the reasoning behind the decision?
Well, I think a lot of it really has to do with my passion for Detroit beer, Detroit-owned businesses, the community, and giving back. That's part of it. The other one are the employees that are there that are new, and the employees that are still there when I sold the company. And I just saw such a great opportunity for the brand. The brand deserves more than it was getting. And it just seemed like the right opportunity to take the business over, grab the real estate back. I'm able to move my other businesses back into the offices there, and really just dive deeper again into Detroit out into Michigan, and as our slogan says, brewed in Detroit, raised everywhere.
Take us back to 2005 when you first operated Atwater Brewery, owner, operator. How did you get into the beer business in the first place?
Well, I loved beer, so that was number one.
I love it.
That started in the college years, but when I moved back to Detroit in 1997, and I had a passion at that point, I said, I really want to start a business in Detroit, be part of the Renaissance. And that was the year that Atwater actually opened originally. So I was a patron, I was a home brewer, and just said, if I ever had an opportunity, I'd love to have a beer business. And just over the years, started talking to the owners at that time and invested in 2002 and then bought it out in 2005.
Mm-hmm. So Atwater Brewery is an award-winning company. Tell our listeners what kind of beer can be found at Atwater Brewery.
Well, Atwater was founded originally on the traditional German-style lagers, which is the heritage of the brand. All the equipment was brought in from Germany. The original brewmaster came in and stayed for 2 years, developed all the recipes, very unique. That's where all the awards came, international awards came from. And then what happened from there is that, as drinking habits changed within the beer industry and craft beer really started becoming more popular, we decided to look into other flavor profiles that maybe consumers wanted. And the big one that came up was Dirty Blonde. Mm-hmm. And that became, probably 65% of our overall sales.
Oh, wow.
In one brand. And then we have a gamut of great products from a great American IPA to a hazy IPA to our great pilsners and lagers and our vanilla Java Porter, which is also another staple of ours.
Now, I know you don't want to give away any secrets, but what are some of the big plans that you have for Atwater Brewery moving forward, Mark Reith?
World domination.
I love it. How do you do that, though, Mark? How do you go about doing that?
Well, you do it one pint at a time. That's what you start with. So, I think what we really want to do is reestablish, Detroit's brewery, Atwater, and build it from Detroit out again. That's how I did it years back. And just really dive deep into the community with the retailers, our distributors, all of our partners out there, and just make sure that everybody understands that, look, we're locally owned. We're locally supported. We support our communities. And we're going to do some really cool stuff in Rivertown. I'm excited about that. And then we're going to rebuild the brand and bring it back out. It still does very well in the marketplace. We just want to make sure that we continue that momentum and bring it back locally owned. And then also do a bunch of innovation. The beverage world is ever-changing. And we're going to be a part of that innovation, and we're really excited about that part, too.
You also own Velvet Peanut Butter. That's a big name in Detroit. Talk about that. You bought that in 2025, Mark?
Yeah, I bought it in January of 25, and it was just an opportunity that came about. And, I ate it growing up. You got the Fresh, Pure, and Delicious boys on the label. And I have two brothers, so there's three of us, which was kind of cool. And it just you have a 90-year-old iconic brand. It's very hard to establish brands. We already have an established one, and now we're just bringing that back out, not only across Michigan, but across the country over the next year or two.
And is all of this being done at Rivertown? And what are some of the changes that we're going to see at Rivertown?
Well, what we want to do is, obviously, we have a great tap house for customers to come in and experience Atwater and all the great beverages and food in our tap house. But we're also going to put in a Velvet House, which is going to be kind of cool and unique. And people can come in and buy peanut butter and buy all of our merchandise and all the things that we're going to do with the Velvet House, which is going to be really cool as well.
It sounds like you might be able to provide some tours for people.
Absolutely. That's a big part of it.
Oh, that's great. You know, you're part of Detroit's Renaissance. Talk a little bit about how that feels.
Well, it's great. I mean, look, I always talked about, you know, when in 08 and 09 and the bankruptcy and Detroit's tough, we're resilient. And look, we went through some hard times and it was tough. And then you had, the pandemic and all those things. But at the end of the day, you just keep going. And that's what the mentality of Detroiters are. And that's why I love the city. That's why I'm really excited to dive back in because, you know, you define yourself in difficult times. It's easy to win. But when you're knocked down, are you going to stay down or are you going to get up and fight? And that's what Detroit's all about.
I love how you call yourself a serial entrepreneur. What kind of advice do you have for people that want to start a business in Detroit?
Well, I think that there's a ton of opportunity out there, you know, and speaking to young people in particular that want to, you know, do startups in whatever industry or business that is that you need to have that risk tolerance, right? So you, if you're going to get into a business, understand it's not going to be easy. But if you have a great service or a product and you have a good business plan, Detroit's there to support you. You just got to reach out and make sure that you're getting all that advice. And I would highly recommend, especially right now with the job market, you know, relying on yourself to generate income is better than trying to go get jobs these days. So if you have a great idea, a great service, and a passion, and a great business plan, go for it.
The other thing I've heard from people like you who are successful in this area of entrepreneurship, Mark Reith, is that you cannot be afraid to fail. You're going to fail at something at some point.
Oh, 100%. I can tell you how many times I've failed over the years. And that's how you learn. You know, the key is that you learn from that failure, right? And you don't replicate it. But you're going to fail. And you know what? When you're a risk taker, that's part of the process, right? So not everything always works out 100%, but you learn from your failures and become better as a business person down the road.
Great advice. Mark Reith, the owner, operator of Atwater Brewery and also of Velvet Peanut Butter, thank you for your time today and all the best on these projects.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Coming up next on Opportunity Detroit, Dutch Girl Donuts is expanding in Detroit. We'll tell you all about it. You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. I love talking to our next guest because he is always coming up with new ways to make Detroit a better place to live, work, and play. Patty Lynch, the owner of several businesses in Detroit, including Dutch Girl Donuts, welcome back to Opportunity Detroit.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about Dutch Girl Donuts number 2. You're adding a second Dutch Girl Donuts to the news center area, Patty. I think your story today falls in the category of making Detroit a better place to play because everybody loves a good donut.
Yes, everybody loves Dutch Girl Donuts. And the spot on East Grand Boulevard is really great. It's in close proximity to Wayne State, the Fisher Building, Henry Ford Hospital, just Tech Town, so many things happening there, the Pistons facility, that we're excited to be able to offer the donuts just a little bit closer to those things, but only 5 miles away from the original shop on Woodward where they'll get made every morning and then we'll drive them to East Grand Boulevard.
You know, Patty, that's a really smart play to bring in a second Dutch Girl Donuts into this Midtown News Center area because of the incredible growth that's going on here.
Yeah, the growth and, you know, the traffic and in that area, the foot traffic. I mean, when we did this little sneak peek preview last week, for National Donut Day on Friday, the number of people that just walked from their home or biked from nearby was pretty extraordinary. So it's got a great feel. The shop, the storefront there is really nice, and we're looking forward to it. We think we'll be open, you know, officially probably in July. We're like 6 weeks behind schedule to be expected when life is crazy. And at any rate, it's all good.
Patty, what goes into opening a second shop like this?
Well, for us, it was just getting the space ready and, you know, getting nice countertops in there and a nice donut display case. And then because we're reactivating a storefront that hasn't been, you know, used in decades, we just have to make sure we're totally up to speed with what, you know, BC'd and the health department.
And so that takes time. And, you know, we're also trying to figure out the logistics of exactly how many donuts are we going to bring down every morning? How are we going to staff it? You know, and so, you know, when you've got lots of businesses and little kids and, you know, I'm still at the funeral home full time, things always take a little bit longer than you want them to take. But we're getting really close.
So how are things going at the Dakota Inn? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the Dakota Inn, it's now been just over a year since we took over. Carl Kurtz, the longtime proprietor whose grandfather built it, sent me a nice text message at the end of May. You know, he realized before I did that it had been exactly a year since we closed. And, you know, really positive. I mean, the place, as always, is very busy during Oktoberfest and the holidays. And the real challenge for us is, can we get it busier and more active when it's not Oktoberfest or the holidays? So this week coming up is a perfect example of sort of what we've done to create more activity there. We'll be open tomorrow for the Detroit City Football League's weekly after party. So we're not normally open on Tuesdays, but we'll open for them, and they always draw a big crowd. And then we recently opened on Wednesdays, which wasn't the case for decades. And so every Wednesday we have a jazz night where a duo or a trio comes in, no cover. And that's a nice little added wrinkle to the weekly schedule. And then the World Cup will be showing the games inside and outside in the beer garden throughout the weekend. There'll be live music every night. So we've just really brought, I think, more energy to the place. We've reactivated spaces like the backyard beer garden and the Rat Skeller downstairs that weren't being used. And so it's been exciting to see people come back who've been coming for generations and see the little bit of change, but then getting new people who are just blown away by the history of the place and all that it represents. So things are good. Things are good at the Dakota Inn.
So, Patty Lynch, it sounds like when you have businesses like this in the city of Detroit, or really anywhere, you've always got to be thinking about how you can get customers in the door. What goes into that process of trying to figure that out?
Well, at a place like the Dakota Inn, you know, a lot of it is just figuring out how to hold on to the past in the ways that have made that place special for 93 years. So it's like, we're not going to get rid of the tradition of Oktoberfest and the Christmas sing-alongs during the holidays and the things that people have loved forever. And why would you? That's the backbone of the place. But then looking at it, you know, through a new lens and saying, well, you know, there are people, the place has always had fantastic beer, right? There's always like 10 beautiful imported beers on tap. But it never really had wine. It had like, you know, maybe one Riesling. And now we have over 200 wines available at the Dakota Inn, you know, at all different price points, mostly German, Austrian, but, you know, plenty of other things to choose from. That's an example of like, you don't need to subtract to add. You know, you don't need to deactivate one space to activate another. You don't need to take away one thing to add a new program. And so I really love being able to hold on to what has always worked and then be able to add things that people are excited about. Showing the World Cup, for example, is something that I don't think the Dakota Inn had ever done.
but we'll have TVs inside, outside, so it can become a real gathering space for people who love to watch the World Cup.
So, Patty Lynch, this is a really good lesson for those of us with big brands. And I think the messaging here is you've got this incredible brand that you do not want to get rid of, but there's nothing wrong with, you know, tinkering and changing things up a little bit to go with the times.
Yeah, and that's exactly the case with Dutch Girl. I mean, I would never dream of getting rid of Woodward and 7 Mile, and I think that that's where our history is and where, you know, our quality control and our production should be. But making donuts available every morning on East Grand Boulevard, 5 miles away, so all those people headed to that part of town don't have to go out of their way for Dutch Girl, to me, it's a no-brainer in many ways. And so, you know, just because we've added doesn't mean we've subtracted. And I think people appreciate that. I think people gravitate to things that they can feel the history of. And then it's exciting to see it, you know, evolve into new chapters. And I did that, the Schwitz is really what taught me a lot of those lessons about holding on to what needs to be held on to and then updating what needs to be updated. And our family's been doing that for 3 generations in funeral service. You know, funeral service is an extremely traditional endeavor, and yet people have new expectations and new ways of doing things, and we've had to adapt and accommodate. And so I think that that's one of the beauties and challenges of small business is being able to figure that all out.
You mentioned the Schwitz. Talk about the Schwitz. How are things going there?
Well, the Schwitz definitely gets the award for the biggest money pit of them all, because when I bought it 10 years ago, it'll be 10 years ago in March, it was really falling into disrepair. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges was saving up and also figuring out logistically how we were going to replace the roof, which was basically caving in. And so that was just an enormous lift that took me years of figuring out and saving up for. But you know, when we're busy during the colder months, we're averaging over 1,000 visitors a week.
Wow, really?
We're open 7 days a week, and the numbers are just incredible. On a Sunday, we're open all day from 7 a.m. till 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday, and there are times we'll welcome over 300 guests in one Sunday. And so it's doing what it needs to do, which is to be a popular, busy public bathhouse, really what the building needs to justify all of the investment and upkeep that it requires. Probably the most exciting thing is that we're pretty much in the process of completing the long renovation of the ballroom. People forget that there was an assembly hall, a social hall, a ballroom above the Schwitz since its beginnings, where they would have bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and high holidays and sort of an ethnic social hall that had completely and totally fallen into disrepair. And it's taken me, you know, going on a decade to bring it back to life. And it's usable. We've had some great events. There's still some things to get done, but it's an unbelievable space. Very proud that it's usable after, you know, probably a half century of disuse. So anyway, the Schwitz marches on. People love it. We get, you know, all different people from all different walks of life. You know, we get a lot of combat veterans. We get addicts in recovery. We get, you know, moms and dads that just need a 2-hour break to unwind. It's a really diverse group of people that love the Schwitz.
How many people will that ballroom hold, Patty?
It depends on the event. If you're having a concert up there and you don't need a bunch of tables and chairs, you can fit like over 400 people. It's big. Yeah. If you're having a really nice seated event and you need, you know, space for people to sit down and so forth, then, you know, you're going to probably cut that number in half. But it's a big room. It's about 4,000 square feet. It's got a great stage. It's got a mezzanine. We put in beautiful bathrooms. So I'm excited to see what can come of it, you know, over the next several years as people, you know, discover it again.
Absolutely. You know, Patty, every time I talk to you and we do an interview, you tell me now, that's it, Ann. I'm done. I'm not going to be investing in anything else. But I got to ask, I see a lot of new investments here. What's next?
Well, I you're going to make fun of me. I truly think that I am done for a while, because not only did we buy, you know, the Harani building on East Grand Boulevard, which the new Dutch Girl is going in the storefront of. But just a couple months ago, I bought the old former Perry Funeral Home in Woodbridge at Trumbull and Warren, and that'll end up being the ninth family funeral home. And what I'm really excited about there, not only to bring a funeral home back to life in the city of Detroit, it feels like a full circle moment for me personally, but my grandfather, who started our firm, you know, and became a funeral director in the late 40s, his first job before he even went to mortuary school or World War II was in that building.
Uh-huh.
And it comes with a nice big duplex that we're in the process of renovating right now so that we can actually house mortuary students. Mortuary housing for the mortuary students has become increasingly difficult, in some cases unaffordable, and a lot of students are now taking their classes online, which we do not think is ideal for their training. It's obviously a very hands-on profession, and so for us to be able to serve the city of Detroit with really top-tier funeral service, but then to also be able to mentor the students from Wayne State, which has the only mortuary school in the state of Michigan. For us, that's a very exciting development as a family. And I'm really hopeful that that'll be it for a while, because there's plenty on my plate. And again, having the opportunity to pursue funeral service and sort of bring my full-time career and pair it with the work I've done with restoration in the city feels really good personally.
Oh, absolutely. What a great story. When will that funeral home and facility be up and running, Patty?
So we've already moved in one student, a young brave soul that was already working for us and wanted to move in. And so he's helping get the place fixed up. And then we plan to move in the remainder of the students this summer and be open to serve the community probably sometime in the fall. My goal is maybe like October to have a rededication ceremony and an open house and, you know, let community members and clergy and all the people we work alongside come see the updated facility, learn about the mentorship program. It's really a beautiful location. I mean, Woodbridge has always been one of my favorite neighborhoods in the city, and really grateful for its proximity to Wayne State.
Patty Lynch, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you for the updates and all your fabulous businesses in the city of Detroit, and we will check back with you soon.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Ann.
And I am Ann Thomas. Thanks for listening to Opportunity Detroit. Enjoy the rest of your day.